that nature that they're concerned about. They didn't seem to be concerned about, you know, regular correspondence. Let me put it that way. They were more concerned about business transactions that depended on these pieces of mail reaching them. So my question to them and my question to you is, does it have to come via mail, or is there another way, whatever it is you're looking for, can reach you?
Well, in fact, in my wife's case, it's a debit card.
Okay.
And you know,
that cannot come by anything else.
No, exactly. But I mean, I've had mail from the UK dated the 18th of July.
Regular mail?
Yes, it was a birthday card actually, which took about 3 weeks, you know, to get here. So it must have come on either Virgin or British Airways flight. I just find the whole thing very, very, very strange. With regards to America, I tried to post a parcel to my sister who lives in Houston, and I was told by the post office that they're not accepting any mail to be posted to America. But yet, my wife, in fact, this morning got a letter from America, and it was, I think it was dated the 18th of July. No, sorry, August, 18th of August.
Okay.
So it's
crazy. The thing is,
you know, mail is a morale booster to people, really. And you know, and if you are expecting something and you're not, and it's not coming, it's not forthcoming, then you know it causes problems.
It's just that today, and by today I mean the way things operate today, it seems that some jurisdictions prefer to use the other carriers, and DHL, FedEx, outside of the regular, what Britons would call the Royal Mail, what we call the General Post Office, even though there are other ways of getting things from one place to the other. And they seem to be finding alternative routes if the General Post Office mail seems to be backlogged for any reason. Right. As I said, you get conflicting information. People say it is, people say it isn't, and I don't like going with what people say. I prefer to have the authorities state, and by the authorities I mean the Postmaster General or somebody responsible for the post that I know is responsible for the post, sending an official notice saying this is what is happening, this is what is not happening, and this is what we're working on to have it corrected before I make a statement on the matter. But I know it is of concern. Most of the people I've spoken to have mentioned things, and it's usually financially based transactions that they worry about. In your case, you said a debit card. The person, one of the people I spoke with, told me it was life certificates. So I know there are issues like that raise concern.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But shouldn't the government be involved in this, really?
Sir, again, the information should come via the Postmaster General, because they're the ones, they have a whole public relations arm. They've come into this studio in the past for various reasons, and they have interacted with the public. It was an ongoing exercise, so I know there is a public relations arm. And usually the Postmaster General is the one who issues the instruction, whether it comes from the government, but it comes through them.
Right.
Yeah. So they're the ones who will do it.
All right.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you as well. 4341-790, the Tuesday edition of Dr. Brass Tacks. Good morning. Hello. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hi, morning, Mr. Johnson.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing, man?
I'm all right.
This is your old friend, Francis Thomas. But anyhow, I want you to come to the head of the class, man. You know, I didn't call in the program. Every time you on, I just try to call, but I just go away long. Johnson, you ain't really the person from the radio. You know, they got some other position in Barbados that you should hold, man.
Retired?
I see you got too much knowledge. Don't laugh, Johnson.
Retired.
I'm very serious about what you're saying, you know.
I know you're serious, sir.
What made me call is that you had a conversation with a man last week. I had one with a man this morning. You told a man last week about the minibuses, about people in traveling as much, more minivans on the road. You remember that conversation?
Yeah, I do.
You had a conversation again this morning with a man that the wrong people and places in Barbados. Well, that just this morning. You remember that one too?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I can't understand why people like you to see into the future, and these people that said they got these qualifications and whatnot can't see no further than a desk in a room.
So maybe they could see further than the desk in the room, but all they're told is to pay attention to the desk in the room.
No,
so there are people. There are people.
Because you're covering up.
No, it's not that covering up. Let me tell you why. Hold on. Let me tell you why I laughed when you said that I should be sitting down somewhere else. So there are people. Some people are competent, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're not allowed to exercise their competence because they're gonna show up somebody. So they either get frustrated and leave, or they come to work and sit down and say, I can do just what they tell me to do. I can move this piece of paper from here, I can put it there, and I ain't doing nothing else. And I keep asking those people when I run into them, how can you do this every day and feel comfortable doing it? And they tell me, boss man, it paying my job. You got another job for me? No. It paying to send my children to school and put gas in my car so I can sit down here and do that. I said, but you're wasting your time. So let me tell you something. There was a gentleman I met who came to work every day in an institution and sat down and did nothing. And I asked him, why? He said to me, I used to do a particular job between 10 o'clock in the day and 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That job no longer exists, but nobody has changed my roster or changed my duties. So I come to work every day for 10 o'clock, and at 2 o'clock, I go back home. He said, I'm retiring soon, and I can do that until I retire. And I look at him and I shook my head because I didn't believe him. But that's what he said.
Johnson.
Yes, sir.
You know, if you put you, or say me and you, to govern this minibus thing in Barbados, Johnson, you know, if in a week, all the 30 odd years and thing, you know that me and you will get due. But I feel one thing about life is that my grandmother always tells me it's about reasoning.
Correct.
No, you got a situation in Barbados, but you tell the man here. You got a situation in Barbados where a lot of people in Pony Road, but you incorporate the transport board drivers that was working. You get them 100% loan from funds access. Well, I'm sure if it's 100% to bring buses Pony Road. You bring 33 buses in Barbados again. You gain real permits every day in Barbados. And every day you blaming, you got callers calling, blaming drivers. But doing foolishness on the road. And God forbid, Johnson, these men in a law school students, no, these men in a university students, if you ask these men how to spell the name, sometimes they can get licks for this. They can't spell it. But then go up the road and flunk the laws, and then you hear minibus men. The man, the put on numbers on a van and drive it down the road as a minibus man. Who issued these permits? Who issued them, Johnson?
The ministry.
I see this problem 20-something years ago, even in the taxi field. Where you got taxis in town, you got a cutout set for incidents up by Hero Square.
Mm-hmm.
You got 200 taxis to park, but you give you 400 taxis
permits
to park there.
Yes,
Johnson, and when the police come, you go run.
Yeah.
You mean somebody can't sit down and do a feasibility study of these things, Johnson, and allocate the necessary things to do it? And then you blame they got bad police out there. They got bad lawyers, they got bad doctors. Nearly every organization, are you blaming mini? Every day you hear the calling program, these people calling, blaming these minibus men for doing what, Johnson? These fellas ain't equipped with the knowledge to carry on this kind of business, a $1 million business. But what's going to happen? If you got 5 passengers at Warren Sefford, for instance, and you got 10 minivans coming down the road, one behind the one. Johnson, what are they going to do? What each man going to try to do to get that bus stop?
Cut everybody's throat until they get to the bus stop, sir. And then hopefully they get somebody to drive off when they leave. And let me tell you, I've seen now that late at night, I don't know if it happens in the day, the time I saw it was a little after 10 in the night, ZMs that around the size of a Voxy or the 8-seaters, driving bus stop to bus stop, asking people there if they need to get to Tongue or if they need to get somewhere, and charge them $3 to do so.
Yes, you're perfectly correct.
To make up a little change.
Yeah. So trying to tell me, Johnson, that this problem can't be solved?
Sir, it could be solved. The problem is, I don't think we want to solve it.
I don't think we want to solve it. Before you start to talk, you come to the head of the class.
I don't think we want to solve it. Somebody.
You hear me tell me about the body that's going to work.
Every day.
And it's going with the supports to do because they want gas and they can't send it to the church. Johnson, them things is wrong.
Sir, and there are people who will tell you they know it wrong. But if they buck the system, they can be victimized. Somebody can move them out and bring somebody else in. And so they're towing the line. And I just keep saying to them, you are putting your reputation on the line. You can't fix that. You can't fix it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And a friend of mine said to me once, if you see something not working, you got a reason why it ain't working. Somebody making money for it not working.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you as well, sir.
I can't understand. We got all these chairmen, the board, and this thing and next thing. And every day we wake up with the same problem. And these people are supposed to be intelligent degree people. And it frustrates me in this country. It just frustrates me. It do frustrate me. And you know who we speak at? We speak at the fella at the bottom of the ladder. Easy. We speak at the fella even with this gun violence thing. We speak at the fella that in the street that's saving if he managed to buy the gun. But we ain't picking at the fella that... Who's selling the guns, Mr. Johnson?
No, you want to get me locked up, because if I tell you who's selling the guns there, come and ask me to make a statement, please, to the officer. So when you find out, call my friends at the Royal Barbados Police Force and tell them you wish to make a statement, please. Look, I have often asked the question. Perhaps that's why you made this statement, me. I've often asked the question. If I look at you, and you're a poor fellow living by your mother, you have no means of support, I don't know what you do for a living, why would I give you $5 million worth of drugs? $5 million worth of drugs? Why would I give you my $5 million? Because I trust you to give me back? So when people tell me about the small man and the big man, like the question you asked, where the guns come from, you know, I don't know anybody who barely could, you know, put on a shirt and pants and stand up on your own and buy, you know, two ham cutters and a juice, could pay $5,000 to rent a gun. I can't figure it out. I know there are people who tell me they sell coral on the beach and they can buy a car for cash. All right. I believe that if you believe what I just tell you, but you know.
I don't know. Me neither.
I just tell you though. I just say.
I'm lobbying for a position for you in this country, man.
All right, sir. Keep looking.
Have a good day here, man.
You too, sir. I know why you all won't put me in trouble. Brass Tacks, good morning.
A very good morning to you, Mr. J.
Morning, sir. Everybody laughing at me this morning. The weather's all right. Go ahead, sir.
I am not laughing at you.
You're laughing with me. Okay.
Listen, it is a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Lived in the United States, who we've spoken a couple of times, so it is one of those calls again. You and I, we had this conversation about somebody's bosom.
Oh, yes, yeah. I recall the bosom conversation.
Yes. Have you ever heard about transit check? The program of a transit check program. If you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
tell me.
In 1987,
mm-hmm.
A transit check program was implemented in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it was named for vouchers and checks that government and companies can buy for their employees that they can exchange for bus fare and all that kind of stuff. So your friend who offers $2 bus fares
wouldn't
have to do that anymore. Now, the thing about this is that the transit allows the employees to save, like, real money, you know, on something that they do every day.
Every day. Mm-hmm.
Which is pay for the commute to work. The government gives people that can earn income credit at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the... I haven't done the math, but I think I've done the math, so to speak, for transit with two fares.
Mm-hmm.
It's what, $350 per trip if you're doing to... I mean, coming from the country and then have to do the, you know, the hotel fare, you've got to be up and down either St. James or Christchurch.
Right.
So let's say it's, what, $14 a day
mm-hmm.
per week. For 5 days, we're talking about 35, about, anyway, let's say $280 a month,
right.
approximately.
Mm-hmm.
So if the, let's work on the government side, rather than the government gives, the unearned employee or unearned people, their transit, their earning some credit, they provide a transit check to the employee. By way of the transport board. In other words, they're cutting the check.
Straight. I'm giving it to them?
No, it's cutting the check to the transport board
mm-hmm.
who they can get their transit check from. So now they're not paying for, at the end of it, they're not paying for transportation anymore.
What are they doing?
But
they're subsidizing the operation?
The operation is subsidized, but through... government to government. In other words, a book entry. I heard this morning there the CEO, I think, of
the transport board.
Mm-hmm. Revenues are down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this money is written, if this check is written from the government to the transport board allows the employee to collect transit checks. Now, they're using this as you're not solving two problems by that operation. Now, for credit unions, banks, and what have you, who have a similar kind of employee, they're under, I shouldn't say underpaid, but they're worth working for less than and they can get the earned income credit. So now they can't qualify for a car loan from the bank or the credit union, but they can qualify for transit checks.
So the challenge with doing that is, what's the cost of maintaining and operating that? One of the challenges I think certain entities are faced with is not so much the cash generated, the income generated, it's how they manage it. And I think in a lot of the cases, if you look at this situation with transport in particular, and I don't know if the system you're outlining is going to make a change to that, it always seems to come down to how you manage the income you get. The transport board gets a certain amount of income. They introduce fare boxes to make sure that people weren't fiddling with the monies received. They've used the buying of cards, pre-bought cards at a reduced rate. I know when my daughter was in school, she got them. That too went by the wayside. There have been conversations about how to regulate the privately owned transport so that people don't hustle to make a dollar. But all these things have been used as a way to try to manage the income. There are issues concerning our transportation system that we need to have a complete revamp and perhaps for the 100th time have another study done on. The routes serviced by our transportation sector, where the bus stops are they still relevant to what we do today? Whether they're properly done. There are places in Barbados where there's a bus lay-by, where there's no bus stop. At the bottom of Jummets Lane is one. No, And there are places where there are bus stops, but there are no lay-bys. There are places where the bus stop was hit in an accident. There are others where perhaps they were removed on purpose. But the communication with the public to tell them whether the bus stop is still operational, whether the shelter is in the right place or the wrong place, where you have vagrants using it to sleep, where you have tourists dining up expecting a bus that doesn't pass there. How do you communicate these changes with the public? That's a problem. That's an issue. People who use bus laybys as parking spots, that's an issue. Parking on sidewalks, an issue. How do we fix it? We don't. We wait until something happens. Thanks for your comment, sir. Here's a news story that should excite the public since questions were being asked. According to Barbados Today, police attached to the anti-gun and gang unit have arrested and charged Zach Robert Nadeau, 74, of Southridge Christchurch with possession of ammunition. Lawmen said on September 4th, Nadeau had in his possession 50 rounds of .32 ammunition as his residence without a license. He's expected to appear in court this morning at the District B Magistrates Court, Eric Holder Municipal Building in St. Joseph. So, Brass Dacks, good morning. Hello. 4341790, Brass Dacks, good morning.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm right on the air.
You are.
Hi, thank you. Hi, Mr. Johnson. This is, actually, I'm a Guyanese, okay? And I've been living in Barbados for over, say, 25 years. I have my relatives, everybody in Guyana. The thing is, I am really, really emotional at this time because why is, like, everybody came into the situation that happened in Guyana when the election was in progress during the saga of the election time. As you would know, even our prime minister that I love dearly here, since the PVP has gone in there, which the people didn't want, and every outside body, like the CARICOM, the United States, Canada, and everybody wanted them for reasons we don't know. There was a selected few who wanted them in Guyana, yes, but the majority of people did not want the PPP in there. Now, you know what's happening? Like on Sunday afternoon, they found the two young men that went into the back dam with their fingers cut out, a big X on their forehead. I just want the Barbadian public to hear this. A big X on their forehead, chopped their bodies in all, every way you could think about.
Ma'am, you in Guyana?
Huh?
You are in Guyana?
I am not in Guyana. I live in Barbados.
And that information came to you from?
Follow Guyana closely.
That information in Guyana came to you from?
From everywhere. It's everywhere in the media in Guyana. And if you want, you could just ask a question.
Ma'am, because I don't. I'll tell you why I don't. I don't.
What I'm saying, it's all over. That's what's happening. That's what happened on Sunday afternoon. Right now, there are protests. There are protests and all sorts of things going on there. Mm-hmm. But you know what? What I'm saying is, all the CARICOM and everybody, our prime minister, everybody get in. They don't know what is happening in Guyana. Right now, Mr. Johnson, I'm so emotional.
Ma'am, and that's why I was trying to get you off of the emotion, because as I told, as I told a gentleman who called earlier, I'm going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
CARICOM, Commonwealth, were invited into Guyana to monitor elections. Remember what I just said. Invited into Guyana to monitor elections. CARICOM as an institution, and then the Prime Minister Barbados was the chairman of CARICOM. CARICOM as an institution cannot go into a CARICOM territory unless invited to do so by the government of that territory for a specific reason. So CARICOM and the others that you're saying cannot walk into Guyana and say, We come to see why people getting killed. We come to see why tires getting burned. We come to see why you're protesting. CARICOM as an institution cannot do that.
You want me to say something now?
If you want to.
What I want to say is this. If our prime minister here could have had her say at that time, why can't she say something now?
Because she was invited as the head of CARICOM to monitor elections. And
yes,
as the head of CARICOM, and as the head of CARICOM, she issued a statement.
She was invited and she sent a team.
Yes.
Okay? Mr. Arthur was there before, and then she sent a team to do the recount or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then the people didn't want the PPP in there, okay? Mrs. Muttley, which I've been following this all the time, or the Honorable Mrs. Prime Minister Muttley, she said...
Ma'am, hold on. Before you get yourself and the station into trouble, get the emotion out of it first and then call us back.
Yeah, no.
This is down to brass tacks. Ma'am. Finish that statement because you're going to get yourself and the station into trouble because you're making quotations that I can't get you to back up. Have a good morning. This is down to brass tacks.
The Barbados Water Authority wishes to advise residents and businesses in St. Peter that it will be making a 4-inch connection in Mullins on Tuesday, September 8th between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. As a result, customers in Mullins and the surrounding areas may experience low water pressure or outages. Residents are asked to store an adequate supply of water to help during this period. The Barbados Water Authority apologizes for any inconvenience this contained service disruption on Tuesday, September 8th may cause.
Starcom Network, home of VOB 92.9 FM, Hot 95.3 FM, Life 97.5 FM, and The Beat 104.1 FM. The most influential, engaging, the most listened to radio stations in Barbados. And now, you can experience the best of Starcom Network online at starcomnetwork.net for live streaming of your favorite Starcom Network station. Catch up with the latest news, hear best programs on radio in your time, your space, on your computer, tablet, and cell phone, and participate in our exciting promotions to win. starcomnetwork.net. Follow us now online. Also, download the apps for VOB 92.9 FM, Hot 95.3 FM, Life 97.5 FM, and The Beat 104.1 FM, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
A SunPower hot water systems panel has 25% larger inner diameter tubing and 20% thicker fins than other hot water systems. The smaller tubing of the other products will cause faster line blockage and less product life. A SunPower hot water system lasts longer than the others and saves you more on maintenance costs. Call one of our sales reps at 428-0634 and get your SunPower today.
Get your SunPower.
434-1790, Brass Tacks, good morning.
Morning to you, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, sir.
I need your help, and that is the way I call it.
I will help if I can.
All right. Now, Mr. Johnson, this is to do with ICPL. Years ago, the government of the time realized the importance of insurance to many Barbadian property owners and vehicle owners. As a result of that, the insurance corporation had a very beautiful portfolio through the years. Eventually, you and I know it had been sold a couple of years ago. And you and I know that within the last couple of days, we've been reading that it has been sold again.
Mm-hmm.
My concern at this moment is, since the origin was Barbados, and it still goes by ICPL,
mm-hmm.
That there is some question. there is some questions that need to be answered. And the questions that I'm asking that could all be answered by the Minister of Housing, who is responsible for all Crown lands and Crown properties, and by the Minister of Finance, who has to do an audit of these various properties and that situation. Now,
the insured by ICBL?
Most of the properties, sir, after ICBL was formed in Barbados,
mm-hmm.
most of the properties that were government-owned,
mm-hmm.
and I'm speaking from authority because they have a document here, government-owned. I'm speaking from authority. An old document that was pushed through my hand at that time. I'm saying that to say this, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of the government property, a percentage of them are insured by government with the company ICBL. The premiums that are paid to ICBL. There are some other companies in Barbados that have some of the government insurance, but I think the majority...
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Yeah, some of them. But the majority, sir, because of the government's connection, all of the people don't seem to understand that the government properties, even those that are closed, those that are shut down, are insured and premiums are paid annually for the insurance of that building. My question this morning to the responsible for National Housing, Ministry of Housing and Lands,
yes.
which is different, because all of those government houses...
What's the question?
The question is, will we be able to know that there have been a change of hands? Because I understand 35 of course, the control of the company. Will we be able to know what is the insurance as far as the ICBL is concerned now that it has been sold in relation to government properties, insured in relation to...
What it is you're asking them to tell you specifically? If they're still insuring the ICBL, if they change it, if the premiums change, what is exactly you want them to tell you?
I think that a lot of Barbadians are not aware that the government is committed to insurance companies as far as insurance is concerned.
Sir, but from what we've discovered in the United States case involving the former government minister, that insurance policies are renegotiated from time to time, that they're split up when they are put out to tender, that it has gone from one entity to the other. We have not been made aware of whether the premiums have gone up or down, whether they've been changed in favor of anything. ICBL is an institution, as others in Barbados, controlled by persons outside the Barbados. It's not the only insurance company controlled by persons outside of Barbados. And therefore, along with all the other insurance companies in Barbados, CGI, Sagicor, whichever ones offer general insurance, which is what that is, they, if the government chooses to put out a tender, can send out a document and changes will be made. I do not believe that simply because the ownership of ICBL will change subject to the regulatory bodies approving it, will mean automatically that government decides to either pull the insurance policy, change the insurance policy, unless the company decides we're not honoring your document, you got to reapply.
Let me make myself clear, Mr. Johnson.
I was trying to get you to.
Yeah. The problem is that there are many insurance companies in Barbados that handle general insurance.
Correct.
I know this. As far as ICBL is concerned, they handled general insurance and they handled a percentage of the government.
So I heard you say that twice, and I just said to you that what has come out in the court case in the United States is that may not necessarily be the same because, as was put to the courts in the United States, government puts out tenders for insurance on their properties, and they have changed insurance companies from time to time, including ICBL.
I don't want you to misunderstand my question.
And I am trying hard not to.
Okay.
Which is why I keep asking, what's the question?
what I'm trying to explain is that you cannot assume the other insurance companies as against ICBL, who has a percentage.
Sir, I heard you say they have a percentage right. Four times. What you want to find out about the percentage then?
These are taxpayers of Barbados. In the sense, these properties are owned by the taxpayers of Barbados. Oh. I'm not talking about the minister.
Sir, you getting confused with what I'm saying. I only use that to illustrate that the government of Barbados will change from time to time the insurance company or companies that provide insurance for government properties. And they do it not because the company has changed ownership, but because they have come a time for them to renew the policy, and therefore they have put out a tender, and depending on who makes the best tender, they have changed insurance properties or insurance coverage from time to time. And I'm asking you what it is about ICBL's change of ownership in particular.
Change of ownership means that, in my opinion, it doesn't have to be correct, but it can be checked out, that there should be some questions that are likely to be asked by taxpayers of Barbados in relation to properties that come up under the catalog, under the ICBL insurance, now it has been changed. The whole thing that I'm dealing with, and I think I may not be explaining myself the way I should, but I think that what I'm trying to establish is that the foundation of ICBL came about as a result of the government of the day realizing how much insurance, how insurance will be important to them as a government. We saw the growth of ICBL to the point where it changed hands to the Cayman Islands. What I'm explaining is nothing wrong with that. But the fact of the matter that within these changes, Mr. Johnson, that the catalog, the high percentage of volume of government-owned properties in Barbados, government-owned properties in Barbados, doors closed, doors open, and government-owned vehicles are insured. So all I'm asking, if the minister or the permanent secretary in the Ministry of Housing and Lands, could establish what is Barbados' value now, as far as insurance is concerned, what is value in terms of insurance with the transfer?
Okay, sir.
All right.
Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello? 434-1790, Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, sir.
About 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, I spoke to you about my water leaking from St. Mark's.
Right
now, it gets so bad now that the heater in the bathroom is not working because it ain't getting the supply of water to come take to work.
If it's electric, it can burn out
the element. And I would like to know if the element burn out when I turn on it, if the waterworks can replace the mechanism.
Either that or the breaker panel can trip. One or the other will happen.
Since March, I spoke to you about two or three weeks ago. I can't remember. Mm. I live in King Street, and not a fella can come and look at it and say nothing. And every morning, I am a 70 channels man. I got the bed in my yard now, so I'm getting the water in my bath. It is here.
Sir?
I don't know what you could do with it for me, Mr. Johnson.
Other than airing it again and hoping that somebody hears your plea, or your plight and come to check, you're at the mercy of the good folk.
Mr. Johnson, the gentleman that has read the meter, take a picture of that three times
and carry it in.
Because you see my condition.
Sir, I don't know what else. I have no idea.
I mean, it's not your fault, you do your best. But what I'm saying is you get on the air all the time and telling you preserve water and a pipe leaking from Mark's. They're coming to repair about two houses from me in the street, and tell the supervisor they had this off on the list. That you on King Street and St. Lucie is King Street, St. Michael by Redley Hall School. All right, sir.
Let's hope they fix it, sir. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. 434-1790, Brass Tax, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
Yes, I heard Mark with his comment on OCBL, and I heard you desperately trying to...
I was trying to pull him online, yeah.
Yes.
So, let me just say this quickly, please, ma'am. For the umpteenth and final time, I do not put phones down in people's ears. There is no phone in my hand. I am speaking into a microphone. Yes, ma'am. Please.
No.
Not you. That was a message that was sent to me.
Sorry.
That I put down the phone in Mark's ears.
No, you did. Not to me.
Ma'am, I just... ma'am, there are people who want to tell me that I do things that I don't do. There are cameras in this studio. They got cameras mounted here for Zoom and all kind of thing. I wish they would, you know, just transmit a few of them so that the overseas operators and the people who seem to know what I do will know what I don't do. I'm sitting here with my legs crossed, with headphones on, looking at two screens and having a conversation with you. Go ahead, please, ma'am.
Yes, please.
You heard me trying to help Mark.
Yes, please. All I'm saying, what I would like to know for OCBL is if its policyholders would still be covered, if they get an accident or if they have any claims, I would like them to come out and tell the public.
Well, you should. Once you have a valid policy, it should not be changed because the ownership changes, which is what I was trying to say to Mark as well. That the if you have changes in the management of the ownership, let me put it that way, unless you have... the policy comes to an end and you're trying to renegotiate it, you can't just decide we're not going to do this or we're not going to do that, or your policy is null and void because it's not owned by X. Is the company, it's going to still be registered. It has to be registered. It has to meet the financial services and the board that governs the transfer shares, etc. Those people have to make sure that all is above board, and once they give the approval, I suppose the policies will remain. Now, if they make other changes, if they offer new instruments, it shouldn't change just like that.
Yes, okay.
But what I have found, though, and this has been a concern for a while, I don't know if it was during the process of the negotiations, people were complaining that they weren't getting responses when they sent out information. They were asking about shares and dividends, payments and things like that. I don't know if that has been rectified. I've not heard it in a while. But policy should not change because of that. Sagico changed ownership. Life of Barbados was bought out. And the persons who worked with them had issues, but I don't think the policyholders basically had issues at all. So I don't foresee that being a problem.
Oh, okay.
I don't. But
Thank you, ma'am.
I got a note here that says, government does business with insurance companies which are not owned locally. The important thing is that the premiums are the best for the company, that the company can get, and settlement is expected should a claim be made. The question Mark should possibly be asking government and taxpayers to be concerned about is the continued ability of ICBL under the new majority shareholder to be able to maintain the same level or better level of service, getting the necessary level of reinsurance, etc. That perhaps he did not understand or was able to articulate his concern properly. So I have read the note because I think what you say makes sense. The reach of the new owners and if they can get reinsurance for the insurance coverage that they currently provide, we will see. Of concern to me when I read it was the fact that the buying of the shares would trigger the opportunity to completely buy out the ownership, including the shares owned by the National Insurance. Now, whether those shares have appreciated or depreciated since the investment was made will add further stress or perhaps improve the financial holdings of the National Insurance. But the question that would arise, see, these are the sidebars that I would like to hear public discussion on, perhaps more so than the ones that people find attractive. the status of the investment of national insurance in the current environment. What are the investments? What are the earnings? What are the opportunities to invest national insurance funds other than in government paper? Because since they had to take a haircut along with the other persons who made a haircut, what's national insurance doing to invest? And what kind of investment is available? And what kind of returns are available? Because they have interest in holdings like ICBL, there are people who have pension funds invested. Take, for example, the situation with Liat, in where you have the pilots saying, or pilot representatives saying, they did not approve of the investing of their funds for their pensions in CLECO. But that's where it was invested. So what's the status of those funds for the pilots? If they're asking that, then we need to ask, what are national insurance holdings? What are they invested in? What are the risks involved in today's environment? And what are the benefits and opportunities for that kind of investment? Because we keep saying it's our money, but there's some things we turn a blind eye to because perhaps we don't understand the language, or perhaps we're afraid to ask, or perhaps we trust those who make the decisions for us, so we're not asking anything. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Blessed one to you, Dennis.
To you too, sir. I'm trying to be good, sir, but sometimes, you know, it's difficult. But I try.
I wish you know, I got good, better, best. I wish you the very best.
Well, I'll hold some of it and save some for you.
Good. my thought process today is the whole question of sport in Barbados. Yesterday, I was commenting on the additional sport activities that come on your station, the VOB, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. But when one recognizes and one hears that they're going to be building out a new stadium or renovating the stadium to make it more in the 21st century than it has been for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm led to believe that the cycling track is going to be demolished. I mean, I think if that is going to happen, I think unless you're going to, and I understand that if they demolish it, they're not going to build back a new one in any hurry. In any hurry.
Why?
Because it will cost them several million dollars. I understand so. But what one has to look at is that you should not take down, destroy where you're building at. and one has got to look at this very carefully. Because that track has been, one of my organizations had an input in that. I think the GSC's had an input in the, I think, GSC's had an input in the whole question of the national stadium. I think even Juan Giet, over the Lamb Company's name, after the GSC's, really in oblivion, but after the GSC's.
And Ronnie Fields had his name on the cycling track, right?
Yeah. And Fields was the name on the cycling track.
Yeah,
but I would like to think that if they're going to take that track down, in fact, what they should do is not take it down, because young riders is a 500 track. And young riders would have a good opportunity of learning their skills on that track. However, I think that the time has come in Barbados to have a 250 track. That is the state-of-the-art track nowadays. And I know for sure when I was president of that organization, we had some overseas track races where we encouraged people from overseas to come in and participate. And we had good attendances at the stadium, and then also the Stouts time. They had like Porto Latin and those kind of people who came down here, and really the stadium was sold out completely. Mm-hmm. Because cycling was a new phenomenon in those days.
So and it had a lot of, you know, I really must support you on this question of cycling, because one of the few things I actually could do with crooked legs. But cycling was it's a great form of exercise, one. Two, we actually produced a world-class cyclist at one point, right?
Yes.
If I recall.
Yes,
vaguely recall. Barry was his name, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
And there was much focus on Barbados and this cyclist. And we used to have meets at the stadium. People understood, you know, how cycling worked. They wasn't just riding all over the place. And it just went into nothing. We have people who exercise... use the road. We had a couple unfortunate accidents with people who use the road for cycling where, you know, motorists, for one reason or another, decide to run into several of them, whether they fell asleep or what. But I can't see that putting our cyclists on the road the best thing to do, one. And two, I think the stadium track was underutilized, I would say, in the last 5 years or so.
Sometimes it has been underutilized because at one point it had several cracks in it that wanted fixing, but they were fixed. But mm-hmm. I think that they need to start... They need to go back to the track.
Somebody asked me to ask you, who wants to ride on hard concrete unless it's a road race that the track is outdated?
No. The point I'm making is there are still 500 tracks across the world. Don't let anybody fool you with that. Again, Copenhagen or somebody that may have a 500 track. There's still 500 tracks across the world. There's still three.
Still concrete?
Well, but the 250 track is still the art track, the one they have in Trinidad right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember very clearly, the same way you have, if you built a 250-meter track in Barbados, which is half the size of that one you have there at Waterford.
The stadium. Mm-hmm.
What would happen there is, I can remember talking to people when I was president, dealing with the whole question of having people come to Barbados to train.
Some
people from England did come to Barbados to train, rather than going to Australia. So if you had a 250-meter track, it could also bring tourism into Barbados. And when it comes to support the World Championship or something like that, it is a straightforward one. You have the facility, and we've got the hotels for that kind of thing, so you can always apply for a World Track. You can always seek sponsorship for a World Track meet in Barbados. Those kind of things are possible, or the Caribbean or the Pan American Cycling Championships in Barbados, if you had the requisite track for that.
Do we? Okay, let me ask you this other question then.
It would be a tourism. The same way the swimming pool could bring people from Canada and all over the place.
I support you on that. I support you on that fully. What I want to ask is if we have the structure in place still in cycling to do it.
Well, what we need to do is put our heads back together and really come up with the whole thing to make sure that is a that the sport is now seen even more fully.
Okay.
To train a lot of our young people, because I know that they have a lot of over 35s in the program right now, whereas you need those younger persons to come out there and really play the
Support you fully.
When we were there, we had a youth development program, which had about 30-something, 32 youngsters in between the ages of 5 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to get back there. And the Sports Council were running a program, too, for training cyclists at various schools.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something we need to get back to utilize the track, because our salvation of winning medals or anything is not on the road.
So I got to support you, as I said, from several aspects. The tourism aspect is one. The creative use of our young people's energies and talents, another. The question that was put by the WhatsApper, again, on the question is whether we should have an indoor track as opposed to an outdoor one only. But we have a tropical climate. We sell it to people for vacations. Let's sell it to them for sport as well. I back you on that one. Could revive the interest.